evening. The truth is that I came actually to this neighborhood to get away from all rabbinical duties, to get a vacation, to rest up and relax. But the Rosham has his ways and means, and in the last 25 years it has never yet happened that I've arrived somewhere and not been caught or found. So I assume that Beis Hashem is Borach, that's Yat Yishmai, that tonight as well I'll be able to do his bait, his rotzen, and be Mahana and share the oilam with some dear Beitera. One of the reasons for me actually being maskim tonight to speak was that it happens to be that this evening is the 13th Yahrzeit of someone who I actually never knew, but a mechutan of mine, or will be. My son is a chosen to this man's daughter, and his name is Daniel Binyamin Ben Yichia Amuel. He was killed in a horrible car accident 13 years ago in Lakewood, New Jersey. And tonight there's a it's his Yahrzeit, so these words should be Il Nishmosa and Mit Hashem with the Shus Laidam. I'm going to make a seam at the end. I was asked for a subject, for a title of tonight's speech. I'm very bad at giving titles, because once you give a title, you have a problem. You have to try and stick to the subject. Otherwise, people say, what are you doing? You said you're going to talk about X, you talked about Y. So I always tell people, you tell me what you want to speak about, then I have an excuse. That's what he said, that's what I'm saying. But I decided on a subject, the title of which sounds a little bit strange to some people. But the title I thought of was, is it possible, how could we prevent Tisha B'Av Toshin Ayin Beis? Now, well, someone's going to tell me, that's impossible, already in the 3 weeks. So when I made that suggestion somewhere else once, and the person said it's impossible, I questioned the fact whether he was Jewish or not. Are you a mamin? Do you say, an imami b'muna shalema b'vias ha-moshiach, afal pi sheyisma mea, im kol ze achakelo b'chol yom sheyovo? Or is that just a nice song to which we can put probably 15 different tunes, some of the old style, some of the new style, some with Goyish backgrounds, some with Jewish backgrounds, some which sounds Jewish or not? Or do we actually believe it? And we all know that the Gemara tells us that one of the questions we will be asked, Achrei Meveesim Shon, is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you actually wait? Were you looking forward to the fact that there would be a Gola? Or is it something which in the back of our mind we say, yeah, Mistama one day? That's not good. We have to believe as individuals and as a group that we can make the difference. We're not meant to look around and see other people and say, so what is going to happen because they're not doing. Ah. The question which we have to ask ourselves is, am I doing what I can do to be Makari of the Geula? Am I doing what's in my hands to be able to end the Golos and be to Mamahe the Geula? And many times over the years I've been asked by Talmidim, what's going to be when Moshiach comes and how is going to happen, what's going to happen? And I've told them I've never spent even a minute of my life trying to learn those in Yonim. And there's one simple reason. And that is because I have another job in this world. And that is to make sure that I am doing whatever I can to be Mamahe the Geula, and to hope that Chas V'Shalom I'm not being Ma'akev. And when I can say to myself, I'm doing those two jobs perfectly, I have plenty of time to worry about what's going to be there. My job is Hayom, not Lamacha. Today, what am I doing as a citizen, as a Yid, in order to enhance and to be Memaher, the Geula which we are so waiting for? And everybody has a different reason why they're waiting for the Geula. Everybody has their own personal reasons. We all have our own personal issues which we would hope the moment the Geula comes, it'll all go away. But there is also a global outlook as to why we are looking forward to the Geula. What do we expect? What are we looking for? There's one word in the English language, which is parenthetically, in case any of you haven't noticed, my accent is not from the United States of America. I'm not from Brooklyn. Yes, a week ago you celebrated something which I didn't celebrate. A week ago you celebrated where you won. You think you won, in any case. You took a good language, you made a mess out of it. You took a beautiful, fine English language and you made a horrible mishmash out of it. Now I get myself in trouble every time I speak. When I call England and speak to my family, you sound like such a Yankee. And here I'm accused always, you cannot get rid of your British accent, can you? No, I cannot and I will not. I put it on specially for your special occasions. Tonight we'll do quasi-quasi. But Lemaisa, we have to ask ourselves the following question. There's one word in the English language which I feel is probably the most difficult word to define. Now, if we had a longer time tonight, I would throw out the options to the Olam as to what they think the most difficult word in the English language is to define. But I'll tell you my thought on the subject. And that is, the most difficult word in the English language is the word normal. And I'll tell you why it's the most difficult. Because every one of us thinks that we're normal. If there's someone we meet who's firmer than us, someone's less than us, who else we call him? He's davening longer shemesh, he's a greaseball, he's davening a shorter shemesh, he doesn't know what he's saying. Baruch Hashem, and we look around, and who's normal? I'm normal. Baruch Hashem, I'm normal. Everybody else around me, no, Sophic. We're not talking about clinically chas v'shalom. We're talking about spiritual. So is there a definition for normal? Does it exist in Yiddishkeit, a concept called normal? And I think it does. I think normal means someone who keeps within the confines of Dalal Chalki Shulchan Aruch and follows a more derech, someone who guides him through thick and thin and doesn't pick and choose the conveniences which today so many people try to do. He's my Pesach for Shabbos, he's my Pesach for Yontif, he's my Pesach for Hilchas Nida, he's my Pesach for Hilchas Ribis, he's my Pesach who I don't ask because I don't want to hear what he has to say, and he's the one who I don't agree with. Baruch Hashem, today we pick and choose. That's one of the tzaros. I think that maybe we should focus for a few minutes tonight on thinking about a normal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and asking ourselves, Taka, what can we do to be Mahed HaGeulah? Now we know for sure Mikdash Rishon was destroyed because of the three Averos Chamuros, the three most harshest of Averos, Avodah Zarah, Gilah Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. And 70 years later it was rebuilt. And the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And we haven't yet gotten over that. We're still suffering. We're still not able to connect with one another without having animosities, bad mouthing, and saying things inappropriate. Because obviously if we had been misaking that, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be in the 3 weeks. We'd be rejoicing. We'd be looking to the Pasuk in Eichav Kora Olai Moed. We'd be looking forward to a Yontif and not to a Yom Eivah. And I'd like to share with you a few lessons which I was zeicher to learn from my Rebbeim. And Boi Hashem was good to me at this chus of being mishamish many different Gedola Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. I want to show you something which I heard from my Rebbe, Zechayin Avrocha, Reb Shlomo Volbe, who I was zeicher to be a ben bais by him for 18 years of my life. How do we approach the mitzvahs that we do? How do we do mitzvahs? What effort do we put into making a mitzvah exciting, vibrant? So he told me the following story. One summer's man, he took off from Yeshiva from Ber Yaakov, where I was learning, and he went to spend his money in Yerushalayim in a place called Yeshivas Devar Yerushalayim. Yeshivas Devar Yerushalayim was the first Baal Tshuva Yeshiva before Or Sameach, before any of these existed, where Baruch Horowitz, Zangazin, was the Miyased. And he spent a summer's month there. And after Shachris one morning, a young man comes over to him. He says, I have a question to ask. So he said, Sha'al bin Isha'al, ask. And he said to him, I looked around during davening this morning. And I noticed that I was the only one smiling when I put on my tefillin. Everybody else was yawning. They had to count three times. Did they get their seven? They didn't know. They were this. Or maybe there was a case, they tell the stories, parenthetically, that someone once came to the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Livracha, with his tefillin shayadon, and he had a shayla, he wasn't sure, is he taking him on and putting him off, what should he do? He said, when I stand there, I'm besameach, I'm besimcha, I'm putting on tefillin, I'm happy. What's wrong? So he gave him a classic answer, Rabbi Yisrael, I'd like you to listen carefully. The answer he gave him was that you were a tinak shenishba bein ha'akum. You grew up amongst goyim with zero knowledge of the fact that you were Jewish. Circumstances occurred and you came to Akora where you were, who you were, and you became something different. Every moment of your life and every time you put on your tefillin, you're excited because now you have the opportunity which the last 20 something years of your life you didn't have. All those sitting around you are tino shenishba b'mitzvas anoshim milumada. Simply translated means they are unfortunately brought up with robotic Judaism, doing things by rote without thought. That we know that when we get up in the morning we have to wash negel vasa, and we know we go to shul and we daven, we put on our tefillin, we put on our talis, and we know. But do we feel? Are we doing it with a zest, with a little bit of oomph? Are we excited when it comes to a Shabbos? Or when we have a 3-day yontov, we say, oh my gosh, 3 days, how am I going to handle it? Especially nowadays. No, for 3 days, can you imagine? No contact with the outside world. No iPads and iPods. And no texting. 3 whole days. People have a hard time with that nowadays. But we have to have an excitement for Yiddishkeit. If we want to pass on Yiddishkeit in the right way to the next generation, to our children, our children's children, the only way is if we do with excitement. All the joshes in the world will do nothing. I heard the following vort. V'rimanatim osam es b'neichem. Lashon Rabbim continues b'shivtecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha b'derech. If I'm not mistaken, I think it may be the Shloh who says this. Why is it changed from a plural to a singular? So the Pasuk starts off by telling us this is what you have to do to teach your children. The first thing is, how do you behave at home? How do you behave when you go in the street? Whatever you do is what they're going to do. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal said, there are machanchim and parents are mashpiyim. A mashpia is someone who has an effect on somebody. The shorish of the word, the root of the word mashpia, said Rabbi Yaakov, most people think it comes from the lashon of shefa, abundance, but he said it's not so. It comes from the lashon shipua, something which slants. So Rabbi Yaakov, a parent is a mashpia. Trickle down theory. Whatever you do, trickles down to the next generation. And therefore, if we look around and we ask ourselves, what's our most important job in life is to have an excitement and a burn for Yiddishkeit. Rav Palm Zatzal once told me the following. They found in the writings of two of the greatest people of the last generation, Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski and Rav Yitzchak Petterburg, they both had a same Kabbalah they made on themselves. Listen, Rabbi Yisrael, to what their Kabbalah was. This is appropriate for the 3 weeks. Lehisragel, to accustom oneself. Lachshov, to think. Rega echad, for one moment, lifnei medabrim, before we actually say something. To stop and to think before we speak. That is what both of these gedolei olam were mekabel on themselves. Said Rav Palm in his beautiful way, he said, if only today people would do this, he said. How many times people walk around, I didn't mean it, I didn't say it, you misunderstood, I never said that, I never did that. If they would have just stopped, how much shalom bias we could avoid the problems of. How much wrong things a parent can say to a children, a rebbe to a talmid, a friend to another, to stop, to think.